This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I dive into some Solemn Oath cans as we get ready for Dark Lord Day and have a deep discussion at the end of the episode about all these breweries AB has been buying up. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, I'm Nick White.
And we have no guests this time.
No guests.
Just us.
Throttle back from a house full that last week.
It was six people in here. And Justin Maynard is a big guy.
So yeah, it's like a person and a half.
Yeah. So there was a lot of people here. If you didn't watch the Beta Bro episode or listen to it, Go back and check that out because that was a lot of fun.
I like Justin. He gives you those big bear hugs when he sees you.
Yeah,
you
know?
He's a big guy.
Yeah, it's really cool what they have going on. They brought a lot of cans. We still have some cans here we need to drink more of. Yeah,
Berliner Weiss was nice. Doppelbach, the hip-hop beatbox. That's a mouthful, but the beer was nice.
Yeah, that was good. Blizzard, that's always a good one, too.
Yeah. Lawnmower Lager.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, they did bring a lot of beer, didn't
they? They did bring a lot, yeah.
That was fun, man. We'll party down with those guys, man. I can remember some good times with the Beta Brow crew, so glad they're doing good.
Yeah, and we'll be talking more about the Southside Craft Beer Fest as we get closer to that. Because that's during Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
But this week, we're here drinking some Kolsch from Solemn Oath.
Yeah, I can dig it, man. Nice cans, too, on the Solemn Oath. What did we say it was? Lou? Is that what they're calling this?
Lou, L-U.
Yeah.
With the umlauts.
They got the old English font, and then it's like, I don't know, it's like a leaf that spells out the letter, so it's kind of confusing. We thought it was, you know, I don't know.
It looked like eyes.
Yeah.
Lie.
Yeah, we thought it was like L-I-I. Oh, but anyway, yeah, it's a Kolsch. It's a Kolsch from Solemn Oath, man.
Mm-hmm. 4.5%? Yeah. 4.7%. It's just nice, easy drinking.
Yeah. Bright, clean, well-balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice little grainy maltness, malt sweetness.
But so they're doing the same thing that Revolution does, trying to make it kind of look like a Miller Lite can.
I like there's a gold top.
The gold top, and that's the same thing that Rev does on their Fist City.
Yeah.
Right?
I dig it. It kind of implies that, hey, you know, maybe you should choose this version of a mass-produced beer, you know.
I guess. You get second glances from people like, wait, what do you have?
So, yeah.
I didn't think you were drinking Miller Lite.
I like this a lot. This is a good road soda, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll be sipping on this as we dive into what we went to this past week, plus some of the events that are coming up that you should be checking out here in Chicago. Yeah, always tons going on. It's really cool to see.
Yeah.
I'm going to start it off. I went to the Craft Beer Festival at Soldier Park.
Soldier Field.
Yeah.
There you go.
At Soldier Field, not Soldier Park. That's a different place.
It's like when Jeff Gordon did at the Cubs game. He's like, you guys ready to rock Wrigley Stadium?
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck is that Wrigley Stadium?
At Soldier Field. This is my second time going because I went last year. This year was a little warmer. Still, there's a bite in the air around this time. So
yeah, we haven't strung together a proper run of like, spring days, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just been kind of gross and then average weather lately.
Yeah. But so they have beer kind of in the concourse area when you kind of walk into the stadium, right away. They have some there. And then once you get out on the field, everyone's kind of lined up around the middle of the field so you can kind of walk back and forth across everything. And Lagunitas has like a tent, like a VIP kind of tent where they only had three beers this time. They had like their Scotch Ale, Waldo's and something else.
Waldo I really like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's what we had when we post-game with the Beta Bra guys. I had just two of those, the Where's Waldo.
That's like 9%.
It's huge. It's like 11.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic
So I stayed beer. I stayed away from that.
Yeah.
But you get like these tiny, like almost shot pours of all their beer. So It's pretty small.
A gist of Lagunitas, because I saw the
picture of the beer. Yeah, it looks bigger in the picture.
Oh, but that's really just a taster?
It's like,
It looks like a full-on Kolsch glass, like 20-ounce Kolsch glass that you get from Pete's.
It's like maybe 2 ounces.
That's funny. that's a good shot.
Yeah.
I thought it was a full. I'm like, man, they're pouring like...
full beer.
They're pouring like 16 ounces at this thing.
No, it was just a small sample. But it's really cool being out on the field. I'm not like a huge Bears fan, so yeah. I didn't like, you know, I'm not doing the tour. I'm not like geeking out like a lot of people. A lot of people just lay down on the field and take pictures of themselves. It's just, man. It looks like grass, man. I don't know.
More Hall of Famers than any other team, man. Walter Payton played there, man. Sweetness, man. Yeah. I mean, I would geek out too because, you know, it's like Bears Stadium or not Wrigley. Soldier Field is only open like what, like maybe 10 times a year?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and then maybe like there's an occasional soccer match or college game. But yeah, you rarely get a chance to go, you know, all year. So,
yeah. So it's cool. I think if you're not a brewery on the field, you kind of lose out a little bit, especially if it's like it was mildly warm this time. So people like weren't back inside trying people.
So there's a concourse and then there's a field. So there were breweries on both, it sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then they had like snacks. They had a food truck area like afterwards. We didn't stick around for that.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good party or event. It's expensive though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I want to say it's like $65 for normal and like $95 for VIP. Whoa. Or something like that. Yeah.
They're not playing any games, Brad.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just getting old because we remember that, you know.
Yeah.
That just seems like a lot of bread for a beer event.
All right, $45 beer fest.
Yeah, that's a fair price for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of like crazy one-off beers. It was kind of your standard fare from people. Like a Half Acre had, I forget, but just normal like Daisy Cutter and whatever the other one was.
Yeah.
Same with most of the other breweries. And nothing really unique or different that I hadn't heard of. A couple maybe from Indiana that I haven't touched
like
on.
Burnham.
Yeah, there was like a Polish brewery like that I hadn't heard of, so that was cool. But yeah, it was just a good day, good event, and fun to be outside drinking.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's put on by Red Frog Events. So,
yeah, and I see their ads when I'm in River North, but I'm not sure about the other events they do. Maybe that's the only beer thing they do.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they do another beer event or anything, but it was cool. I should have a video going up maybe later this week, montage-y kind of thing.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's a lot more than I did, bud.
Yeah. That
I was hungover from hanging out with Bear Brow.
Yeah, drinking Waldo's.
I didn't get out much at all, man. You know, okay. Yeah, I just went to like a few restaurants, but nothing on the beer side. Yeah. Oh, cheers to Fogo de Chão, man. I had a great time there. They've got a Brazilian beer there. Okay. That's their house beer. Oh, but they have a new concept where they built this bar just for happy hour. It's a happy hour bar, and then they have like these $15 lunches. You don't have to commit to like the $60 experience of, you know, the meat at the table.
Yeah. Okay.
You can go there and get your happy hour on.
Oh, you can. Okay, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because it feels daunting if you want to go to Fogo de Chão.
It's a commitment. You know, it's like
ready to eat.
Meat sweats. And $140 later, you know, this is how you feel when you think about it. But they do have other options.
Yeah. Full and broke. that's cool. Yeah, I haven't been to either one of those places in a long time. You've been to both now in like the last 6 months.
Texas Day Brazil and Fogo. The Churrascaria, I think that's how you say it. The Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah.
Fogo's 40 years old.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. That one's 20 years old, but that brand is 40 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. I also hit up Peace last week, just random stop in, kind of hanging out. They have, I think, a new beer that's kind of like their staple, like is it Astronaut House? I think. So that one's pretty good.
They got Moose Knuckle?
Nope. Didn't see that one up right now. That's like a winter.
I guess it's a barley wine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like their fall into winter beer. Yeah. No Camel Toe.
The Egyptian Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I got up and did live band karaoke off of like 4 or 5 Moose Knuckles one night. Did a Cream song. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
Moose Knuckle, man.
Cool. Well, sounds like
I keep dropping this thing.
You blew it this week, man. I'm usually the one that doesn't make it out. Yeah. I don't know what happened. You must have too many cocktails you're making at home.
I got nothing, man. Yeah. And then they gave us this Brazilian rum. Uh-huh. So I'm making these, you know, I'm at home thinking, I clearly think I'm a bartender. I got two bars in my one bedroom condo. But yeah, man, I've been making cocktails, you know, getting some beers and drinking at the house, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, then let's dive into this coming week and weekend because big one with Dark Lord Day.
It's a big one, man. We'll start with Wednesday at Hopcat. Wednesday is May 10th. Dogfish Head Tap Invasion. At Hopcat.
You cannot take over Hopcat.
I don't think there may be one or two breweries that can take over Hopcat, right? Because they got like 110 taps.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, they got 15 beers going up at 6 p.m. You know, I really like the Saison Du Buff from them. It's a collab between Victory and Stone. That's always been one of my favorite beers.
Okay,
it's
yeah, that is good. Thing.
Saison with like thyme and rosemary.
Uh-huh.
Thyme. Yeah.
So. That's cool. 15 beers and from Dogfish Head, kind of a brewery that I think we've kind of, I don't know, like pushed it aside in the last like year or so.
Yeah, it's kind of synonymous with like, you know, Sam Adams or, you know, some of those older brands that, or Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Who are, you know, I mean, they're cool and their beer's good. You just, for whatever reason, you just don't get excited about them, right?
I know, yeah.
They almost seem like from a different era, you know?
I don't know how they fix that if they got to just start doing cans and kind of get people excited about their beer again.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what this is, starting to do some of these invasions again and remind people like, hey, we have more than 60 and 90 minute.
Yeah. I wonder what you do. Like if I was tasked with like, you know, keeping a brand alive after 30 years, I don't even know how to approach it. You know,
yeah.
You almost have to go with the whole, like, you know, create experiences kind of play. You
right.
Know, right.
But I bet they do pretty well in their area.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure they're doing just fine. I don't, yeah.
No, yeah. Cool. So check that out over at Hopcat. That's on what? Is that Belmont? No. Clark.
Yes. Yeah. It's around like Diversey and Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice space.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Wednesday.
Cool.
We can jump right into the weekend, I think, after that. All right. Saturday is a big one. Saturday the 13th is Cruz Blanca's first anniversary.
Already?
Already. Just like that. Yeah, so right. they have an anniversary party where it's like $30 to come and join the party. You get like all these special tacos.
Okay.
Well, but they got their anniversary beer. It's called a Paloma, which is a grapefruit saison.
Okay.
So cheers to those guys, man.
That's
Cruz Blanca is the brew pub next door to the dining restaurant, Lena Brava, which I kind of want to hit.
I've heard great things that there's always like a line for it now. It kind of blew up.
Yeah, and Rick Bayless, man, he took home like Restaurant of the Year at the James Beard Awards last week, which was like the Oscars.
For that restaurant?
No, for his other concept, Topo La Bamba.
Okay, Topo La Bamba.
Topo La Bamba, which is right next door to Frontera Grill.
Okay.
In River North. So, cool. Yeah, he's rolling, man. He's got a hot hand. That's Saturday. Pale Pauper is Saturday up in Elk Grove Village.
Okay.
Yeah. Microphone Brewing's Pale Pauper. So this is the third annual one. It's always been an alternate to Dark Lord Day. Even in the name, Dark Lord, Pale Pauper, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a $40 event this year. This year they have 20 guest breweries, man. Everybody from Mars, 18th Street, like Half Acre, Goose, they're all going to be at Pale Pauper Day.
Really? And because skipping Dark Lord Day.
Yeah.
Going to this.
They've got a huge following, man. That's from noon to 5. It's a $40 ticket, and it says all proceeds are going to go to the Elk Grove Village Veteran Foreign Affairs War's office. They're trying to build a new elevator for the vets in their office building.
Okay.
So that's cool. I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah. So
good cause.
Good for them, man. Drink it for a cause there.
Nice.
In Elk Grove Village.
But then I know many fans of probably the podcast here and people who are just coming into town will be out in Munster for Dark Lord Day.
Yeah. I want to say this has to be at least the 9th Dark Lord Day.
Probably longer than that.
Yeah. Dark Lord Day 2017. This year they got 7 variants.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we go through the variants?
Do it.
All right. Cool.
Lay them on me.
Also, they've got Dark Matter is going to return. Dark Matter is maybe for like year 3 or 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Black Hole Mech. Damn. These names, man. So Dark Lord has a barrel aged, a Woodford Reserve barrel aged version of Unicorn Blood, their espresso,
mm-hmm.
and it's called a Black Hole Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing for that. What the fuck does that mean?
I think it's just a dark barrel aged coffee. Like that's
all right. That works for me. All right, so 7 variants this year. You know what they did this year, which I don't know if I'm a fan of it yet. They so it's groups, you know, A through E or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then typically what happens is, you know, you have the right to buy a variant.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, with a golden ticket, or if you're in the depending on the group. What am I trying to say? Oh, so usually the best variants available are gone
before the last group.
Before the last group shows up.
Okay.
So the last group stuck with like some wine barrel age version, and you know it's kind of whack. No one really likes it. Oh, but this year they're randomly stuffing every bag. So each bag comes with the 4 standard bottles and either a variant, a random variant, or 2 vintage bottles from previous years.
Okay.
So I don't know, man, cuz like so like I'm in group B, right?
Yeah.
You know, and in the old days, you show up maybe a little early, get your spot in line, and then if you're there, you get first dibs on whatever variant you want, and that's the end of it. And if you're in group E, then you're just in group E, and you know, hey, better luck next year. But this is super random. So you could be in group A and be the first person in line and walk away with no variants. You could walk away with you know, a vintage 2014 or 2016.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What do you like this? You don't like this then?
I think I hate it.
Oh, I kind
of
like it.
It takes all the jelly. It's sucking all the jelly out of my donut right now, Brad. It's driving me nuts. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I want to choose what variant I want, man. You know, because there's a thing about their variants in the past. Some of their variants are righteous, like really good.
Right.
And then some, not so much, you know?
Sure.
So, and that maybe that's my issue.
Right, but yeah, if you kind of were screwed if you were in that last group and you basically there's nothing left. Like that kind of sucks for you, right? Like, because how do you get group A? Is it random or is that
just no?
Like,
yeah, you have to
get the ticket early,
you
right?
You just have to get it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
But then that first person in group A, they don't know, right? What's the best one yet, right?
Well, you know, people talk. Well, because some of these, we'll read them off here. Some of them are, you know. Are repeats, right? So like Chemtrail Mix is new. That's a bourbon barrel aged dark lord with cinnamon and peppercorns. I haven't heard of that one.
Is that the Trader Joe's mix?
The Trader Joe's dark lord. then there's Rinaldo, which is Muscat barrels with tart Michigan cherries. That one's really good. I've had that one before. See Dark Lord de la Muerte. That's the bourbon with guajillo peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's oh, shit, the rest of my list is blurry. But, yeah, you get the point.
So you're really, like, if you're there with a group or, like, some friends, that's where you win, right?
Yeah, right? Because then you guys can all kind of – and, you know, it kind of promotes that, too, because that's what Dark Lord Day is, right? It's just this big – it's a big bottle share.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of promotes the idea that, hey, you know, don't worry about it, because if you have friends, you're probably trying them all anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So
– yeah. Well, is there one you're hoping that you might get your hands on?
There's the Hanji, which is like the vanilla barrel aged one. I think it's called Marshmallow Hanji.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get that one. I'll be happy either way. Dark Lord for the most part. I mean, we'll drink it on the show, but other than that, I just kind of give it out as gifts for the most part anyway.
Okay.
You know, like if you go out of town or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, me and my mom, we typically drink one. She lives near Munster.
Okay.
You know, that's the only beer she'll drink with me. It's super weird.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't show up unless you have a Dark Lord. Like, I don't know.
or vanilla rye. She's always asking me for a vanilla rye. I'm like, yeah. No, I don't have vanilla rye. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, my brother-in-law asks for vanilla rye all the time. It's like, that was like twice, man. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I can't get you that. That doesn't exist.
You,
like,
I might be able to invite you to this thing with me, and it might be at the thing, and we might have a glass of it.
Might,
but, yeah, I mean, I just have vanilla rye, man. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so Dark Lords this weekend.
Yeah.
That is a $180 in Munster. The only day of the year you can purchase Dark Lord Russian Imperial Stout, 3 Floyds Brewing. Yeah. Anybody who listens to this show probably knew all that already.
They probably knew that. They're probably there. They're like, yeah, we get it, guys.
Like, we knew it already, bro. What's next?
I guess, but.
But yeah.
What? But it's turned into so much more of a festival and like party and bands.
Yeah, it's. I mean, to be honest, man, I kind of boohoo Floyd's a lot. But I'm kind of a fanboy. I think like a low key fanboy. I don't have a lot of Floyd's gear and shit like that.
Yeah.
But like, the first craft beer festival I ever went to was Dark Lord Day 2010. That was the Green Wax. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I met Nick Floyd once. It was one of the 3 best days of my life.
Whoa.
You know, that was cool. You know. But I mean, I have, you know, I have some emotional ties to Floyd's, but I get pissed off at, like, you know, the wine barrel aged versions or the $50 versions or this $200 ticket that just includes beer. Like, you know, it's love hate with these guys, you know. But I mean, I think they set the tone. I think Greg Hall from Goose Island said this in one of the in the Food and Wine article about the most important beers ever. He's like, they set the tone for like big badass bottle festival releases. You didn't really see it on that scale before they started doing it. So
yeah. So that that's cool. And yeah, I always hear pretty good things. I think it's gotten better over the years too. So it's pretty nice to see.
Yeah. So right on.
If you don't have a ticket, you're screwed.
Yeah.
All right. So it's even like why I mention it, right, on this?
Well, you know, because there is a secondary market for tickets, and actually they did have tickets that went up today. But people, and then people had the right to buy two tickets.
Okay.
You know, so there are tickets floating out there, you know.
I'll be at a wedding on Saturday, so I can't even go. I can't even think about going.
No.
All right. So then if you didn't make it there or looking for something else to do, anything else on Sunday or?
That's actually all I got
this
week.
That's all we got. Okay. But there was an insane amount of beer news before we wrap up the show here. So that's all the Chicago, I think, events and focus for the most part. We always like to end with what's happening in the rest of the beer market, I guess.
Yeah.
So what do you got first on your list?
Yeah. Before we get into that, shout out to Local Option. They're doing an event called The Day Before, which the day before Dark Lord Day.
Friday.
That's Friday, Friday the 12th.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into some news, man. The good folks at Firestone Walker, man, Adam Firestone and Catherine Firestone, they donated $250,000 to your president. To our president, Donald Trump. They donated 250 large to Trump's inaugural campaign.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be like an insane backlash against Firestone stuff.
This is bad news for Firestone. They released a statement that said, we as the brewery do not do anything in politics, but your person that founded the brewery and is still
it's named after you.
Currently getting paid because of the brewery donated this. So, yeah.
So, there you go, man.
I think Ethan, who works for me, had a great line. He's like, this is good for me because it means I have one less beer I have to choose from when I go out.
That's a very good point. Yeah, it kind of weeds out, you know, things. Yeah, because part of the reason you drink this stuff is because, you know, you care about the people making it. You care where it's made. You care who's behind the scenes doing it.
Yeah,
you know, you care a little bit. So
and whose life is improving because you're spending the money with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
people feel that way. Some people just
Some people want, just like the way it tastes, and they don't give a fuck who makes it.
And that's fine too. Like whatever the reasons you drink craft beer is different for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. The Break Room brewery space that turned into Finch Brewing up in Albany Park is now going to have its third client or third tenant.
Yeah, I heard someone mention this. So they didn't know who. Do you know who?
Yeah, Ravinia Brewing Company.
What?
Yeah, and apparently they are
affiliated. This is awful news. Who is this?
I don't know, but apparently they don't say much about who they are, but they are affiliated with, you know, Ravinia, the concert hall up in Highland Park. Yeah, so bizarre, man. What is Ravinia doing with a brewing company? And then if you do a brewery company in Ravinia, why are you so far away from Ravinia when you do it?
Yeah, why don't you have a brewery in Ravinia?
I'm so confused. And that's a killer space, too. That would be an awesome place for a brewery, actually. Because their season only lasts during the summer. But if there's a brewery there, you can get it popping all year.
I know, right? Because it's right off the train. Ravinia Brewing Company? This just sounds bad.
Yeah. Ravinia is a shit, though. Santana's going to be there in September, two nights in a
row. We don't know anything about this brewery.
We don't know anything about who is behind Ravinia just yet. No, we don't.
It's probably secretly the Finch investors trying to do something else.
A proper rebrand by Finch here. Yeah.
This makes me sad. I was pushing for Salamoth here to show up there.
That would be nice.
I think that would have made that brewery work. I think a no-name brewery, I don't know who you are, so I don't know. I have to say that, is not going to get people to go to that area and go to the brew pub.
Yeah, you're kind of banking on like locals.
And there's not enough people locally that are willing to spend that price for the beer. I was kind of talking with someone else who grew up there. He's like, yeah, the brew pub does not work there right now. It's maybe as more young people start to move in there, but no, it doesn't work.
It's on the northwest side, kind of like not terribly far from Wrigley, just an Uber cab right away.
It's like Irving Park / Albany Park.
Yeah. It would be cool if like you said, a bigger name brewery moved in and kind of made it like a destination.
Yeah.
You know, so you could do some Sunday Funday thing and chill on the northwest side.
I give it 8 months. It'll be a new brewery.
You heard it here first.
All right.
By
the end of the year, there's a new brewery in there. They are shut down.
That's funny. It's going to be one of those dead spots. You know how like there's a bar in like there's a bar around the corner from Local Option that we go to all the time. We used to go to all the time on the Brew Bus. And it was a craft bar, a dough space, you know, but they couldn't figure it out and it changed ownership like every 6 months.
Small Bar Beer Bistro?
Across the street from Small Bar Beer Bistro. It's probably okay. Arrogant Frog. Or Small Bar Beer Bistro. Would be another good example. It, for some reason, no matter what you put in that intersection, craft related, it completely dies. Even though Local Option has been humming along for 20 years, the intersection like three, four blocks away from them, a main intersection, dead.
Yeah.
No matter what goes in there, dead.
But if anyone who knows the Ravinia Brewing people want to come on here and talk about this project and get us excited about it, like I'm more than happy to find out more about it. I know nothing about this, and I'm sad to hear this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, moving along. The good folks at Vice District have landed their second location. They're going to be in downtown Homewood.
Okay.
Yeah, so right next door to a bottle shop called Grape and Grain.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be some nice synergy there. Grape and Grain has like 20 beers on tap, and then it's also a bottle shop. They have a lot of like homebrew events. They have a lot of like social club events, you know. So that'll be good for the Vice District guys. They're going to do bottle and cans in beautiful downtown Homewood, home sweet Homewood.
Okay. Brad. They must be doing pretty well then.
Yeah, it opened their second location. And then I guess that's the only way for them to really get in prod too, is open another space, because their space in South Loop is
pretty small,
tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a snug space. The White Sox have a new official sponsor, and it's Revolution Brewing.
I thought you were going to say Chicago Beer Pass.
And it's Chicago Beer Pass. You can come to the Chicago Beer Pass Cave at White Sox Park. Rev's calling themselves the largest independent brewer in Illinois.
Whoa.
And that's probably true at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that Lagunitas, which we'll probably get into here in a minute.
Yeah. So the terms weren't announced, but there's a marketing agreement, and they'll have 100-level kiosk branding all throughout Sox Park. So
good
for Revolution, man.
That's crazy. Okay.
This is on par, I think, with some of these other parks. Like, you go to Seattle or San Diego or even, like, Detroit.
Oh, does San Francisco have 21st Amendment around?
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah, 21st Amendment makes it a beer just for them. You know, and their new brewery is going to be, like, across the street from where the 49ers play or the Giants play. So this is we're finally getting on par with what's going on in the rest of the country here. You know, just have one of the best breweries in your city, you know, be one of the main guys there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hopefully get some more people to the park too.
Yeah. Miller Coors out, Revolution in. But they also have like 75 other beers, craft beers on tap there. They actually have a really broad selection of beers down there.
Mm-hmm. Or so. Just Coors out, right?
Oh, yeah, Coors.
Molson Coors.
Sorry, I forgot about the trade, the sale. Yeah, you're right. All right. And then speaking of sales, let's jump right into it, man. Wicked Weed to Anheuser-Busch and Lagunitas to Heineken.
All right, so Wicked Weed.
Yeah.
I know the name, right? I knew the name.
I've only had them once, and that was at the Sour event that in Indiana that the Upland guys threw.
Right, so my... I guess my passion for this one was kind of, I guess, null, because the brewery, I don't see their beer. I don't have their beer. Yeah. I have no connection to it.
Definitely more of a small regional player. I read something like they went from 7,000 barrels last year. They're projected to do like 40,000 barrels, which is still relatively, that's regional. That's not, but you know, all the cool kids kind of trade for their stuff. People know who they are.
Yeah, and they're in Texas, right?
North Carolina.
North Carolina,
Asheville,
sorry.
Asheville area.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking Texas because Jester King has some qualms against this. They had
I think the guys who produce like Wild Ales and you know Sours, I think they seem to be like really passionate about, even more so than other breweries, right?
Yeah.
Like really passionate about, like, you know, methodology and why they do this, and, you know, really trying to be expressive about, like, you know, creating a theme and supporting the area they're from. Like, they're really passionate guys, okay. It seems like. Yeah, so Wicked Weed said, thanks for 4 years. We're going to go ahead and join the high end, man.
All right. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, how I feel about this.
So overall, this is AB's 10th brewery that they've purchased since the Goose. Goose was the first one.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really good story on Kaiser's website about, so there was a guest writer from this brewery called Creature Comforts. So apparently the guy used to be like in finance for Miller Coors.
Okay.
And, you know, now he's got this brewery in like in Georgia or something. Oh, but anyway, the piece is really good. It kind of dives into like why it's important that AB buy these brands. And it has nothing to do with, you know, getting small breweries larger distribution and more research. It has nothing to do with that at all. But it's actually like a play where, you know, they'll take the brands that the breweries that they buy produces and ultimately lower the prices on them so that you can perceive AB's beers to not be too much different from the lowest priced beers from these other brands, like Goose IPA, for example.
Right.
Goose IPA is like $6.99 for like a six pack.
Right. So then you're thinking, do I pay $9.99 for, this IPA from 21st Amendment or $6.99 for, it's a way to basically push out the other beers because we can be cheaper.
Yeah, you know, and ultimately, and you know, AB is, and like, I don't know much about Heineken's practices, but AB in particular is known for like throwing money and trying to back laws that stifle the growth of craft brewers, mm-hmm. you know? So it is kind of like, I'm not going to say you have to pick a side, but it is painfully obvious that AB doesn't really care about the segment of craft surviving. They're more concerned about their brands.
Right, yeah. That's why I think Jester King was so upset, because you see this more so in Texas where they have crazy stuff. Like, I think a law just passed that something about like food, like if you're serving food at the place, you can't be a brewery now. You have to brew, or if you're a restaurant, you have to buy your beer from your other brewery. So you can't have brew your own beer and have your food. You have to buy it back from yourself, so it goes through to distributor. It's weird stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of these laws are antiquated, and if you're like a small business that's doing, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 barrels a year, you don't have time to go hang out at your state's capital and, you know, and like try to, you know, get some laws changed. You don't have time to do that.
Right.
At the end of the day, this is affecting small businesses. It's kind of weird. I don't know where I stand on it either, but. And that piece was really good, and it did bring to light that AB doesn't really care. I think AB cares more about, like, their brands. It was especially when you look at – and that's what Sam from Dogfish had said once. Yeah. He's like, hey, man, they're going to buy this brewery, and then that beer is going to be made available from coast to coast, and it's going to be cheaper. And it's going to put pressure on smaller businesses who can't afford to compete at that price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is about. And then the consumer who really doesn't give a fuck, the casual consumer that, you know, takes the train in from wherever, goes to Wrigley Field, and he sees a beer, right, that is, it might be craft, it might not be craft. Who knows who owns it, who cares? He's going to see a dollar difference between fucking Bud Light Platinum and Goose IPA. And yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's...
Well, now
that's AB's goal right there.
Also, Goose is now associated with the Cubs. So you basically got rid of Old Style to be now it's Goose Island, and the Cubs kind of go hand in hand to
Pretty
some
much.
People, to
Pretty
new,
much.
To younger people.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's an open economy, man. What are you going to do? I mean, people get into, there was a really good quote, and I'm going to look it up right now. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business. So, like, how mad can you really be if Tony McGee from Lagunitas gets $1 billion for something you've been working on for 20 years? Like, how mad am I supposed to be about that?
Yeah, that's, you know, the other story we were kind of talking about. Wicked Weed, but yeah, the Lagunitas sold the rest of the brewery to Heineken. This one, I also, it's a little bit of like a damn, but it's not surprising. Like, Goose Island already had AB as their like distributor and 50%, and then they went, it was just more of a like, when is this going to happen anyway? And Lagunitas, every one of your beers are the same beer. So I don't care. You make an IPA. That's all you make. Every beer tastes the exact same. You have the most house flavor I've ever had out of anybody.
I think out of every brewery in Chicago. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, how's your Doppelbach hoppy? Like, this doesn't make sense. Like,
how's the Scotch Ale?
Yeah. Why is it so hoppy?
We hopped it up a little bit.
Yeah. Dude, come on.
Yeah.
So that's...
This is a quote from one of the stories. A lot of good stories out this week.
Yeah.
Oh, it says, it's time for beer lovers to finally realize that these are businesses run by businessmen who make beer and are not countercultural heroes. They are businessmen who portray themselves as counterculture heroes because the narrative sells beer. And when you see, you know, when you... Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think that's the reality of what we're dealing with. It was a business from day one. You know, they had to get recognized, so they made bolder flavors initially.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, there was a business plan, and then there was an exit strategy somewhere in that plan. So
right, yeah. But you could look towards breweries that do have that counterculture kind of idea if you wanted to, like Dogfish Head we were talking about earlier. Like,
yeah,
if he hasn't sold out yet, it's probably not going to happen. Like, Sam has his own brand and image that he built. So yeah. Why at this point? You have the Stone thing, which they messed up themselves because now they can never do it. Otherwise, they're the biggest sellout and their whole brand would fall apart.
Yeah. Even the BrewDog guys, where they're brewed for punks,
yeah.
Even they sold to a percentage of their company to the marketing team that like is behind like Vitamin Water.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and let me be clear. I'm not trying to say like, hey, get over it. Everybody's eventually going to sell. Cause you know, on the, on Chicago Beer Pass website, we sat down with the New Belgium guys.
Yeah.
And New Belgium kind of said flat out, like, hey, there's a lot of, you know, acquisitions and buyouts in our industry. And we don't care from the beginning. We've always wanted to be an employee owned business and we're always going to be that way. We created the shares program,
yeah.
You know, and it's for employees. We got 20 years of shares to give out. Like, this is who we are. I mean, we don't care that Ballast Point got $1 billion, you know? So there are actually, I'm not saying like everyone is trying to, you know, position themselves to act like they're part of something that they're not. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, there are some people that actually care about not being part of a global corporation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like here in Chicago, like Alarmist is probably one of those people that you could be like, I think Gary Gulley is probably going to do his own thing and not really worry about what everyone else is doing. Like he's played that game. So
yeah, it's not in, whether it's Heineken or, you know, or Miller, Molson Coors or Budweiser, it's not in their best interest to carry a ton of different beers that require more hops and adjuncts and all this kind of shit. It's not in their interest to carry that kind of yeah. stuff.
But as a consumer, we can make choices ourselves. Like we talked about Elysian when they came here with their beers and they're going to go to 50 states. How's that doing for them? Not so well. I haven't seen an Elysian beer once.
You're
since
right.
You talked about going to Sink and Swim, what, earlier?
Oh,
like
you're talking
4
about
ago?
Yeah, you're right. You're talking about the guys on the East Coast, the Blue Point.
Blue Point, sorry, not Elysian.
Yeah, you're
Elysian's
right.
Out in...
they're out in, like, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, sorry. Blue Point.
Or maybe Washington, one of those, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so...
Blue Point, yeah.
We'll see, man. Oh, ThornStreetBrew.com estimates that AB InBev makes $12 million a day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and CNN Money said they're... their profits were down to $4.6 billion in the final quarter of 2016.
Okay.
So they're making some serious cash. So nothing wrong with money.
Can we get a little piece of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
AB, you want to sponsor Chicago Beer Pass? All right. Well, we should get out of here. We got more Salamoth beers to drink. We got some Dark Lords, I think. To drink.
Yeah, we're going to... The cellar raid is going to include a little DL this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, if you're only a listener of the podcast, like go over there, check out the YouTube channel because we're doing other beers.
Can we get the fancy stem wine glasses?
Sure,
can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
We got other beers. I think we'll run out of cellar beers here soon, so we'll probably dive into non-Chicago beers as well. So check out the YouTube channel, Chicago Beer Pass. But Nick, where can people find you, get in touch if they want to hit you up at Dark Lord Day?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version, like I was saying. And then Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We're always posting lots of photos, events, other stuff there. So check that out. That's probably the best place, right?
Right on.
Yeah. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Take care.
Cheers.